God is good, and I so appreciate the way the Holy Spirit will confirm over and over and over again. You know, he has no problem doing that. I think he loves to do that. You know, I've had so many people, even at the early service, and I'm believing for that here at this service, you know, as I began to speak, people will come up and they'll show me the scripture that was in their reading for that day, or they'll show me something that was sent in an email, and it'll exactly confirm. And I just love the Lord's way of doing that, because it's just like a loving Heavenly Father to say, you know what? You are hearing me. I am able to get out my message to you. You are not dull of hearing. You can hear and recognize my voice. Do you know that that is one of our privileges as his children, is to hear his voice? You know, that makes us different. We can hear the voice of the Lord. My sheep know my voice, he says, and another they will not follow. So we can recognize, and I don't know why I went off on that point, because that's not really what I'm going to be talking about, but I love the voice of God, and may he speak to us ever clearer in the days to come and confirm his word with signs and wonders. Amen. I want to read a scripture to you. And we've talked about the meaning of thrive, and here's just some synonyms of that word: flourish, advance, prosper, be vigorous, to expand. In other words, I like to think of thriving and not just surviving. You know, I'm going forward. I'm flourishing. I'm not just making it. I'm seeing God move in my life. I'm seeing him bring expansion into my life. And that's what he has for all of us. And I want to read to you from Psalms 92, verses 12 through 15 in the Passion Translation. And it starts out, yes, look how you've made all your lovers to flourish like palm trees, each one growing in victory, standing with strength. You've transplanted them into your heavenly courtyard where they are thriving before you. For in your presence, they will still overflow and be anointed. Even in their old age, and this is good news, even in their old age, they will stay fresh, bearing luscious fruit and abiding faithfully. Listen to them. With pleasure, they still proclaim, you are so good. You're my beautiful strength. You've never made a mistake with me. I told the first service, I got so blessed just reading that scripture in the first service. I said, we could all pack up and go home and just meditate on that scripture, because there's a lot in there. It talks about thriving even in our old age. You know, so many times we are tempted to think, oh, you know, I did that when I was young, or I had a good season once. And the Lord wants us to know that we can continue to flourish and to thrive as the years go on. He is not done. He can consistently and constantly talk about us and show new things and pull out new purposes if we allow him to. In Jesus' mighty name, we can still thrive. So I just want to hit today three areas that God has been dealing with me on if I want to thrive. Do you know that I cannot get up here and preach a message until I have to live it first? It's funny how God does that. You know, you can't get up and talk until you've lived it first. And so, you know, I always know the week before I speak, it's going to be a doozy, because the lessons come fast and furious, and, you know, they come in all different ways, practical ways. But I love it, because I learn, that way I learn in practical ways. And sometimes a picture is worth a thousand words. And so God has been showing me, but there's three areas, and I hope that you can find yourself in one or maybe more of those. If we want to thrive in the house of our God, and he's made it clear that that's his will for us, that's his desire for us, then these are the areas that I want to talk about today. And the first one, if you were at the women's conference, you've already heard some of this, and that's to sing a new song. Sing a new song. Now, somebody in the first service asked me to clarify. They said, well, do you mean like sing a song that I don't know? I mean, sing a song that I just learned today, sing a song that I'm making up the words as I go? I said, yes, and all of it, and more besides. You know, God tells us to sing a new song. Do you know when David began to sing the Psalms, they were new. He was composing them as he went. But I'll tell you what, David won't mind if we borrow some of those songs and begin to sing them out. And sometimes those songs just come out and he'll give you a new melody to sing with it. And his word will be powerfully edifying in your life. And then sometimes you just need to prophetically declare the new song. You know, if you can't pay your bills, you need to burst forth with a song. My God will supply all my need. He's coming with things that I don't know, I can't see. And, you know, I've just made up my mind that, you know, I'm not a gifted singer. I'll just say that out front. But I'm not going to let that stop me. So you guys might be in for a difficult time today. No, I promise I'm not going to sing that much. But I have to get that out there because we began to sing and let forth. And, you know, there are things, even in science, that it is proven that happens in your brain that can only happen when you sing in that way. Do you know that your voice is unique? Just like we have unique fingerprints, no one else has the same voice or the same size or the same shape of vocal cords. And as you began to sing to God, things began to happen in your own life that will edify you. In science, it says that there's endorphins that are let loose when you began to sing. You release anti-anxiety endorphins just singing. I'm just telling you some scientific things. But we learned at the women's conference that there are 50, no less than 50 direct commands in Scripture to sing. The Lord is not suggesting, you know what, if you have an operatic, beautiful voice, you might get up and sing a song at your church sometime. You might get up and sing a special. No, he's not saying, you know, if you only feel good or if you only feel like good things are happening to you, if you only are in a good mood, maybe that day you can get up and sing a little ditty as you drive down the street. No, the Lord said, no matter what circumstances you're in, no matter what you are facing, sing the new song, and you will watch what God will do as you begin to obey him. My husband, I believe it was said, talked about Paul and Silas in the prison, began to sing forth, and something very interesting happened. Chains fell off of them. You know, we might not be looking like we're sitting here all chained up, but I tell you what, there are things that the enemy would like to chain you up inside where no one sees, and the only way for those chains to fall is in direct obedience to the command of God to sing forth the new song. You can sing forth prophetically. You can sing forth to your situation. You can sing forth to a situation that you don't even know, but God is making you aware of in someone else's life. You sing the new song, and God will expand you inside as you do it. So there's many, many reasons for us to sing, but let me read you a couple scriptures about singing. Psalms 43, a new song for a new day rises up in me every time I think about how he breaks through for me. Ecstatic praise pours out of my mouth until everyone hears how God has set me free. Many will see his miracles. They'll stand in awe of God and fall in love with him. So singing can be a form of evangelism. It says right there that as we sing about the miracles of God, that many will be amazed and they'll hear the good news of God as we sing forth who he is. There's just something about music. How many of you have had that experience of listening? Maybe all of a sudden an old song will pop up from somewhere in a store or somewhere, and it instantly takes you back 20 years for some of you, maybe not that long. And all of a sudden you feel the same things that you were feeling at the time that song was popular. Anybody ever had that experience? How many of you have ever woke up with just a song in your mind? He's awakening your ear to hear the new song. It's something very profound, and it, you know, makes no sense sometimes that we could sing and that we could instantly enter into something new in God, but that's what the word says. Let me just ask you this, and the first crowd got this right away. Let's see if you guys are just as good as they were. I'm going to sing one word, and let's see if you can get it, all right? Let's see if you can sing it. It's just one word, and it's not that I'm going to be selling any, well, I'll explain later. When I sing the word nationwide, whoa, you sang even louder than the first crowd. I'm not selling Nationwide, okay? I'm not a spokesperson for that. But my point is that if you put one word to a tune, you will remember it in a way that you would not if I had just said that word. Look at you. I mean, you guys, many of you, you probably wouldn't say I'm an expert in music writing or in songs, but you could do that. You could recognize it, couldn't you? How much more should we be singing forth the praises of God and not just the praises of Nationwide? When we sing forth the praises of God, it will cause people to hear about who He is and receive Him in a new way. Many times people will come in those doors and they might not even get to the message. They will be convicted through the presence of God and the song that is going forth as we sing in unity the praises of our God. In Jesus' name, you know, in Brazil, and I've said this many times, we saw a lot of demonic possession and we saw a lot of demons manifesting. Let me just say this. They could sit many times through the preaching of the word and be very quiet. But when people began to worship, when people began to sing, when people began to sing, and sometimes the new song. Did you see what happened this morning when we kind of broke out of the rhythm of just singing the first part of the song that we all knew? It began to unleash a freedom here in this place. All of a sudden, I could see. It was like people began to be set free to sing new words and new melodies. And I saw some of your lips and the words that they were singing were not what they were singing, but you were singing a new song of freedom to God. You were worshiping in direct obedience to what His Word tells us to do. And it's powerful. Do you know every revival is accompanied by new songs? Every revival all through history, you see that always happens. People began to write new songs. The Holy Spirit begins to birth new songs, begins to give new melodies, new words, sometimes from the scripture, sometimes from your own experience. God begins to give that. And let me just say this, in a room this size, I firmly believe that there are probably songs that are within you, inside you, that are still going to come out. And you say, well, you know, I don't know if I have it within me to write a song that churches could sing. It's up to Him, the scope of the influence. You know, if God wants your song to go all over the world, He can make it go all over the world. But I'll tell you what, if He wants it to be for an audience of one, that's equally as powerful. I can tell you what, I can just imagine someday when we get to the courts of heaven, I can imagine Him calling one of you forward and saying, sister, sing me that song that you used to sing in your prayer closet. Just sing that song. I want to hear it. My ears want to hear your voice singing. And I'll tell you what, we'll all sound good with all the choirs of heaven backing us up. And Gabriel's trumpets and all the horns and all the strings and all the orchestras that are available up there. We're going to sing a new song up there. We might as well start doing it now. We will sing His praises. And so we do it out of obedience because He directly commands us to. But we also do it because He's so worthy. He is so worthy. The Bible says, if we don't sing and cry out and praise, the rocks will do it. And who was it that said, Ron Canole said, I don't want no rock to take my blessing. I don't want any rock to cry out. I'm going to do it. I will sing the song of the Lord. He is worthy. The next thing, and you might not quite understand the dynamics of this, but singing is a form of warfare. It's a very powerful form of warfare. If, and I mentioned chains earlier, if enemies are coming against you, if you're seeing attacks from all sides, raise your voice in a sound of worship and praise to your God, and you will see the enemy flee. I started to talk about demonic oppression, and I just want to reiterate, they would not stay in the room when God's people were worshiping. All of a sudden, you'd hear a piercing scream, and somebody would get up and either fall to the ground or running out. Why? And I believe it has something to do with the enemy used to be used in praise and worship, and he can't stand it now when God's people have that weapon available to them. He cannot do that anymore, but we do, and we have the privilege of raising our voice. And you know, I want to make my days so full of singing and song and praising and worshiping that the devil doesn't even want to stay around. I want him to say, you know what, it's no fun to be around her house. All she does is worship and pray, and all she does is lift up and exalt the name of Jesus, and I'm not comfortable in that environment. I don't want to stay around when she does that, so I'm just going to leave her alone. May he, the Lord, raise you up to sing a new song and see the enemy flee. I want to read you this quote. I've seen some beautiful quotes this week that are all talking about these things. This is from Pastor Helen Burns, and it's about worship. It's worship is a choice and your weapon to enlarge your territory. Worry is also a choice and the enemy's weapon to shrink your territory. Worship is a warship. Worship is a warship to take out your enemy. So I'll tell you what, I am not just saying this. When you are in the middle of great trial and tribulations, and I sense some of you are in the fight of your lives this morning. I don't know every area that's represented here. It could be health, it could be financial, it could be relationship. You know what? The solution is all the same. Raise your voice in worship to our King, and the enemy will flee. It is a weapon of that God has given us to defeat the enemy. It defeats the enemy, and you know what? It expands your territory. There's something that happens inside of us. Our heart expands. Well, I can't explain it scientifically, but let me ask you this. How many parents do you have? We have here in the room? How many of you just naturally, whether you were singers or not, found yourself singing to your little baby? You know, you'd sing a lullaby to get them to sleep. You'd sing to kind of distract them. You'd grab their little toes, and this little piggy went to market, and you do all kinds of things about singing, and maybe you never even consider yourself a singer, but I tell you what, your love for that little person awakened things inside you that you didn't know you had, and you began to sing forth, and I'll tell you what happened. When you did that, that began to expand you inside, and we can see God doing an expanding work in our territory as we began to sing the new song. God says, sing me a new song. You know, I just began to tell myself, rise up, my soul, sing a new song. I don't feel like it. Rise up, my soul, and sing a new song. I don't feel like it today. Rise up, my soul. I did not ask you how you felt. I said to do what God says to do, and you will see your enemies flee. You know, I began to just think about this because I used to have a season in my life where I wrote lots of songs. You know, that was just what I did. And we sung some of them here. It's been years ago. And someone was asking me about it, and I started going back, and I said, well, you know, there was this one song I wrote in Portuguese when I was 12 in Brazil. And they still kind of sing it, you know, every now and again. And I started musing, and all of a sudden the Lord said, it's been a long time since you were 12. And he wasn't being mean. He was just saying, look, you need a new testimony of a new song in your life. You know, the Bible, the first verse that we read, it didn't say you will thrive and flourish until you're 12, and then it stops right there. You will sing a new song or write a new song until you're 12 and when you're young, and then no more after that. The Lord said we will thrive and we will flourish and bear luscious fruit even in our old age. And part of that starts with singing the new song to him and beginning to declare. You know, if you will lift up your voice, and you might think, well, that's, you know, why does God need to hear my little ditty? God needs to hear it, the enemy needs to hear it, and you need to hear it. You need to hear your voice declaring his praises. Hallelujah. Sing a new song. 2 Chronicles 20, and you know the story when they had, Judah had the enemies surrounding them all about. And the Bible says that King Jehoshaphat consulted with the people, and then he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. So you see, when we sing and pray, the Lord then sends the ambushes. Now, you knew I couldn't get through March Madness without a basketball analogy. Now, I'm not going to taunt anyone about their team. I promise, at least not from the pulpit. No, I'm not going to. I'll tell you why later. I've been convicted. No, but I saw an awesome example last night. How many of you can picture this? I know some of you are not the fanatics about basketball, but this is a fairly simple example I think everybody's seen. When one team throws the ball up to score the basket, and another person then jumps up to attempt to block the ball. It's called just called a block. And so they keep him from scoring the basket because they rise up higher and knock the ball away, right? Can you picture that in your minds? Our worship and our song and our praise of the Lord effectively blocks the enemy from trying to score on you and on me. And when you rise up, you see what literally happens is when you begin to sing and praise, you are elevated into a higher place of vision, into a higher place of strategy, into a higher realm where you can swat the enemy's attempts to score out of that building. And you know what? You will see it stopped right there in Jesus' name. There is something about releasing the song that blocks and foils the attempts of the enemy. So the next time you see a good block in basketball, you can just say, take that, devil. I'm going to sing my song, and your attempt is not going to even come near the basket. It's out of here in Jesus' name. You know, even the announcers, they'll start to scream when that happens. They'll say, that's out of here. You know, yeah, there's some fellow basketball fanatics. All right, I'm not going to scream anymore, I promise. Singing the new song and worshiping God will block the attempts of the enemy. Then the last reason why you should sing, we sing because we're commanded to. We sing because he's worthy. We sing because it's a weapon of warfare. And here's another reason. We sing because we're following his example. Did you know Jesus sings? Did you know it? I'm going to prove it to you. Psalm 32:7. Lord, you are my secret hiding place, protecting me from these troubles, surrounding me with songs of gladness. Your joyous shouts of rescue release my breakthrough. Isn't that beautiful? The Lord is singing over you. He's singing over you. He's singing a song over you. He looks at you and he loves you and he sings a song over you. And the Bible says that he surrounds you with songs of deliverance. And when you're afraid, you can know that he is singing over you. And he is releasing not just a song, but a shout. His joyful shouts will release your breakthrough. So he sings a song of mercy. It's not just mercy and lullabies, though he does those too, but he also has joyous shouts of deliverance that will release your breakthrough. You can write this reference down too. Zephaniah 3:17 says, he'll rejoice over you with joyful songs. So he sings over you. So he's singing, he's shouting, shouts of rescue. He's rejoicing. Can we join him? You know, wouldn't it be powerful if the Lord opened our ears to hear what he's already shouting over you? He's already declaring over you. If you knew surely that he was shouting, I'm sending out your financial breakthrough, you would jump up and begin to shout too. And you would jump up and begin to sing, breakthrough is coming. And it would pretty soon you'd be dancing, and not just dancing and singing, but you'd be running because the Lord would stir up the truth of what you are singing and shouting. You know, back to sports, how many times do they try and distract the opposing team by what? Waving their arms and singing and shouting and chanting. That's a weapon. Why are we not using it more effectively? Why are we not using it in the kingdom of God? I've determined every day to sing a new song. Sing a new song. Sing a new song. And I'm just going to prophesy it here that God is going to raise up many songs from this place. It's already started. It's already started, but there's more. There's some coming from some people that I don't even know yet, but there's going to be songs that are going to come forth. And it's going to be songs. And Pastor Troy, and I'm just kind of moving into a bit of a prophetic flow right now. I'm remembering what he declared. He declared that the atmosphere in this place for us to make the step to the new building is going to have to come up. It's going to have to come to a higher level. And the way that it's going to do that is as we begin to come together and begin to have the powerful songs of deliverance that the Holy Spirit gives us. New songs straight from His heart. Yes, we can sing songs that others write, but He's going to give us new songs that will be powerful weapons to get the enemy clear, out of here, blocked, foiled, stopped, no more, in Jesus' name, amen. So we need to sing the new song. I just been fired up about that this week. The next thing, got to move quickly though because I want to finish here. The next thing that to thrive that God's speaking to me is this little phrase, and I'm going to tell you the phrase, and I'm going to tell you the area I believe He's speaking it about. The phrase is, don't let doubt win. Don't let doubt win. Let me tell you where I got this from. It was actually Jesus that said it. You remember the story when Jesus was walking on the water and the disciples were in the boat? And Peter called out to Jesus and he said, hey, if it's you, Lord, bid me to come to walk on the water. So the Lord said, come on, Peter, come on out here. And the Bible says that he got out and he started to walk. And, you know, I've heard people really, really down Peter about because he then eventually sunk. But he also walked. And you know, none of the rest of us can probably say that we've walked on the water. But he also did. But the Bible says that he realized it was dangerous. And so he got frightened and he got scared. He looked at what was actually happening and he said, save me, Lord. And this is where I want to pick it up. It's in Matthew 14, 31 from the Passion Translation. It says, Jesus immediately stretched out his hand and lifted him up and said, what little faith you have. Why would you let doubt win? Why would you let doubt win? And that phrase has been resounding in my heart. And let me just say something. Jesus has no problem with our questions. We can even have times of unbelief. He's very patient. He's very long-suffering. We saw the example of doubting Thomas. Do you remember what Thomas said? Thomas said, you know, I'm not going to believe that Jesus came back from the dead unless I feel the wounds in his side and touch the wounds in his hands. Do you remember? And the Lord didn't rebuke him. The Lord didn't punish him. The Lord didn't ban him or toss him out of being an apostle and say, you know, you doubting thing, you can't be a disciple anymore. He did not do that. What did the Lord do? The Lord appeared to him, gave him a visitation, said, come here, Thomas, feel the wounds, feel my hands. And you know, he then went on to say, but blessed are those that have not seen and believe. But he didn't rebuke him. The Lord is well able to handle our questions and our doubts. But the area that I'm talking about, you see, Peter was not doubtful that Jesus could walk on the water. He didn't look out there and say, oh my gosh, Lord, you're going to fall. Be careful. I don't think you can keep walking that way. Get in the boat. What do you think you're doing? He was not doubtful about that. He, where he had trouble, was doubting that he could do it. He had doubts about the Lord's ability to work in him, about who he was. You know, he was just Peter, who had troubles with anger and unbelief and just popping off and saying stuff at the drop of a hat. And so he was doubting who he was in the Lord. He was doubting his identity. He was doubting his calling. He was doubting his very purpose. He wasn't doubting that God could do it. He was doubting that Peter could do it. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, my church is filled with people that have similar doubts. You know, and I'm talking about the body of Christ at large. If we were to take a poll, and I ask each one of you, do you know why God created you? Do you know the purpose to which he called you? Do you know the gifts and callings? Do you know the identity in him that you have? Some of you would struggle. Some of you would say, if you were being honest, and I've been there too, you know, I'd like to think this, but the truth is I don't really know. I see God working in pastor. I see God working in so-and-so. But when it comes right down to it, I don't really know who I am in Christ. And the Lord really wants me to drive home that we cannot allow doubt about who he's called us to be to affect our lives. Not 1 minute longer, not 1 day longer, not 1 week longer. We need to make up our mind. No more am I letting doubt win. No more. And you know, I just love this because what the Lord did then, he saw that Peter had questions. And so he called out Peter's identity later on. He said, you are Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church. And only God could have revealed this truth to you. Flesh and blood didn't. And he called that out. And I'll tell you what, the church is full of people that need to hear the Lord say, you are Peter, and on this rock, you are so-and-so. You are Mary, and you will sing a new song. You are Elizabeth, and you will be used to help women birth things. We have to hear the Lord calling forth our identity. We have to, and he's so willing to do it. Why would you let doubt win? Let's don't let doubt win. Let's begin to ask him. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. And before we leave this place today, for those that want to, we're going to ask him to begin to call forth our identity. He is faithful. He has a variety of ways to do it. He can do it in many, many ways. He can speak to you through a scripture. But I'll tell you what, you also need to open your heart that he might speak to you through the person sitting right next to you. God has a funny way of doing things. God has a funny way of putting people in our own house that can call forth the very destiny that's on us. God has a way of putting people in our lives. And as we give him permission to speak, he can speak in some unusual ways. We cannot let doubt win. You know, we let doubt win when we think we are hearing God, but yet we allow fear to hold us back. And we stay in our own little box. And we stay in our own comfort zone. And we don't step out. That's letting doubt win. And I've done that many times before. We don't ask him to speak to us. We don't think we'll hear anything. So we just stay in our quiet little corner. We let doubt win when we don't seek him diligently in prayer. You say, well, why would you say that? Because the Bible says that if we pray, we must believe that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So if we were honest, it's not that we don't believe prayer works for someone else. But why are we not praying? Because we're afraid that we might not get the answer that we so desperately want at times. Why would you let doubt win? Don't let doubt win. Doubt is going to go today. Doubt is our enemy. Doubt is the enemy that the enemy uses to keep us contained. Do you know what the enemy loves? He loves a church full of people that accept the status quo, that say that things will never be any better than they are. Oh, you know, my family's always been poor. My family's never been educated. My family has never done this. In my family, there's always divorce. I'll tell you what, today is a new day. God is starting a new history in your life, and he is willing, and if we are willing, and we say we're done with doubting, we're done with unbelief, we're not going to let doubt win, then we can begin afresh. We refuse sometimes to deal with stuff that we've had in our lives a long time. My husband and I just had an experience where we redid our family room. It was a very painful experience. How many of you know that when you set to make something better, at first it looks worse? I'm talking about, he had the safety glasses on and the hammer pounding and demolishing things. I'm talking about that kind of making new. Because if we were honest, our family room badly needed an update. It had been the same way pretty much for 20 years. And we were, you know, determined to move out of our comfort zone in that area, but it had to look worse before it looked better. And we couldn't do it on our own. It took an army of people to help us. We discovered people in this church that have gifts that we didn't know they had. I discovered that my son-in-law is excellent at putting tile around the fireplace. I don't know that he knew that he could do it, but man, was he a blessing in our lives. But then one thing that happened, and this is such a picture of when God sets out to change our lives. We had a terrible, embarrassing problem, and that was wasps that were coming down the chimney. So you can imagine that, you know. You have a guest over, and pretty soon there's a wasp, you know, buzzing around there. They're not happy. They're not, you know, excited to be there. And you're like, oh, it's okay. They just come down the chimney. It was not right. You know, we had gotten to the point where we were so used to it that we began to accept it as normal. And somebody finally spoke to me and said, Pastor Miriam, that's not normal. And I was like, you're right. It's not normal. It's not normal to have wasps buzzing around. And you know, God looked and he spoke to me and he said, so many of the things that we have learned to live with and learned to deal with in our own self, in our own life, and many things that are not acceptable and not normal and not what God has for us. And we've just kind of, you know, just happy-go-lucky. Yeah, you know, they're just flying around. They won't hurt anybody. God wants to deal with the wasps. He wants to deal with the things that are unsightly. Ways of doing things, ways of ministering, maybe things that were great 20 years ago, but he wants to give you a new beginning, an update. You know, so many things in the, you know, computer world or the phone is constantly having to be updated. Our spiritual lives are the same. The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. He has new mercies. And so we got rid of the wasps. And I'm happy to say that after some months of pain and hard work, the family room has taken on an entirely different identity. And God is doing something. You know, many times he will do parallel things in the natural and the spiritual. And for me, it was such a picture at how he gently and effectively will point out the things, the areas that we've learned to put up with, that we have not dealt with, that we have not opened our mouths to sing, that we have allowed doubt to win, that we have just continued on the status quo, and God's saying, I've got more for you. I've got some areas that I'm going to put my finger on and that I want to see change come in. If we will dare to allow him to deal with those things, we will see change and we will see wonderful, wonderful things happen in our lives. And I'll tell you something. Let me read you one more quote because we need help from our brothers and sisters. This is from Beth Moore. And she said, compadres in the faith, I mean a small band of true fellow sojourners and fellow soldiers who will fight the good fight beside you, are absolutely crucial to all of us in Christ and for men as well as women. This is one of the biggest deficits I see right now in the body of Christ. Many times we're just missing that one little perspective, and our brother or sister that God has put right beside us in the pew or on the worship team has got that perspective. I read a very, very wonderful quote about Thomas Edison, who invented the light bulb. And they said that a young reporter came and interviewed him about the whole process that it took for him to invent it. And they were really heavily talking about like his failures, because they said, Thomas, we hear that before you invented this light bulb, you had failure after failure after failure, and many, many times you failed, and it took years. And how did it feel when you just kept failing over and over and over again? And Thomas answered this, and I thought this was so wonderful. It's a word for someone out there. He said, I have not failed. I have found 10,000 things that will not work. I have not failed. I've just finished finding out 10,000 ways that will not work to build the light bulb, but I'm not stopping there. And you see, many times we have that little added perspective that someone else needs to hear. God needs to just allow us to drop the walls and open our hearts to the people that he's put in our lives. It does, just like with our house. It takes a village. It takes a village sometimes to scare away the wasps, to come in and spray the stuff that needs to be sprayed. May God give us the ability to do it in Jesus' name. And finally, my last point, and the Lord spoke to me really strongly about this, and this was one I actually probably have the fewest notes on, but I really believe that's for a purpose. I believe the Holy Spirit's going to individually speak to each one of you about that. But he talked to me about being kind. Be kind. Let me read you a scripture. Ephesians 4:32. Instead, be kind and affectionate toward one another, as God graciously forgiven you. Then graciously forgive one another in the depths of Christ's love. Saw a quote, be kind for everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. And then as I was pondering this, I read another quote from Bobby Houston of Hillsong that says, there is an urgency in the air for kindness. And what I took that to believe is the world out there Because really, kindness is simply showing the love of Jesus. Kindness is showing the people that do not know him how he sees him. Kindness is reacting to them like you would want someone to treat you. Kindness is looking at them in their need and not being so busy that we bypass them and say, be warm and well fed, but we stop and we show them the love of Jesus. There is an urgency in the air for the church of the Lord to rise up and truly be kind to one another. And this was brought out to me in such a funny way last night. I told you that I'm a March Madness freak. We have, many of you know, a nephew, Dan, who was healed when he was a teenager. He was in a diving accident, dove, broke his neck, was told he'd never walk again, was told he'd be paralyzed totally from the waist down. They told his parents to go about and start putting handicap ramps in and all different kinds of things. And the truth is that 1 month later, after he was diagnosed with that, Dan walked out of the hospital in his own strength. Testimony to the living goodness of God. A testimony to the fact that our God still heals. A testimony to the fact that the miracles of the Bible are still supposed to keep on happening today. His doctors couldn't explain it. Somebody here needs to hear this. His testimony is living. But Dan is now, he was a teenager when this happened. He's now a young father, has two little boys. And Dan is a very avid Carolina fan. So all of you felt Dan's pain the other night. That's all I'm gonna say. Dan texted me the other night and he said, well, Aunt Miriam, I might as well go for your team now. I want your team to win it all. I said, praise God, I'll take it. And then he said this. He said, and God just used this funny little example because he wasn't really saying this too seriously, but I'll tell you what, God really grabbed me with it in a way that only he knows because he knows how close to my heart sports are. Dan said this. Dan said, Aunt Miriam, I don't know if this is possible, but I really wish Sunday that you would not boast to the Carolina fans, even those that have been mean to you in the past. And I just thought about that. And, you know, I'm not really even talking about sports because what Dan was saying is that God can help you react in a way that might not even be natural to you. He can stop you from saying things because I know, I mean, who else like but me to feel another sports fanatic's pain? I should be the most kind. I should be the most gracious. I should speak very kindly to those that are experiencing defeat because tomorrow I might be in that same place. And God just used that and began to take it all across the board and say, you know, God can change our nature to cause us to see the failings and the sufferings of other people and to cause us to move on outside of how we would typically react and speak a word of kindness. And I said that I was just going to leave it there pretty much because I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit's very, very good. I don't know the areas that you need to be reminded to be kind in. Maybe you're not mean to other people about their sports teams, but I can guarantee you that if you open up your ears to the Holy Spirit, he will show you, you know, I want to show my love to that person. You know, they haven't always been nice to you, but you can react in the way that the Lord wants you to. Let me just say this. This is a whole side note. The Lord can cause, I'll say it carefully. He can be your vengeance. You don't need to try and make it right and prove that you were right all the time. That's hitting somewhere. I don't know who needed to hear that. But the Lord can be your great defender. And I'll tell you what, and we have seen over and over in our lives, we have not always been treated justly. We have not always been treated fairly. There's been things said about us that were not true. But I'll tell you what, when we have fixed our eyes on Jesus, have chosen to do what I'm talking about today, sing the new song, be kind, he will rise up with shouts of victory for us. And I'll tell you what, he's the best defender that you would ever want in your court. He can make it right. He can turn it around. He can cause things to come out the way they're supposed to. He can do what you cannot do in a better way than you could ever do it. And I'll tell you what, I'd much rather that he defend me than I try to stand up and defend myself. And that's the word for someone. I'm going to leave it right there. Yeah. Hallelujah. We can be kind. But I just want to encourage some of you maybe that has never tried to get up and open your mouth and sing. God's got something. He's got something new for you. He has got something new for you. He's got something new for us as a church, as we are willing to maybe look silly. We're willing to just sing in the car. We're willing to sing in front of our spouses. We're willing to sing songs over our kids. We're willing to sing songs over our grandkids. We're willing to sing songs over our pocketbooks. We're willing to sing the new song. Let's stand to our feet. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. So, Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you, Father, that you have given us mighty, mighty weapons. Father, we have not always used the weapon of singing the way that I sense that you want to begin to use it in some of our lives. So, Father, we ask that you would forgive us for that. And Lord, I pray that you would wake us even in the night season with a song in our heart. Lord, I'm asking for new songs that will be sung in this church and beyond to come out of the spirits of some of your people, Lord. Father, I pray that as they're in their own experience, they learn to turn to you and trust you, that songs, Lord, will come forth that will amaze many. Lord, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for who you are. And Lord, I thank you that you are doing a new thing. In a crowd this size, there might be someone that does not know Jesus personally, that's never accepted the Lord as their personal Savior. Or maybe you did once know him and you've kind of slipped away from actually walking with him. The good thing is that you're in the right place at the right time. And God has been speaking to you and saying, it's time to come to me. It's time to turn back to me. It's time to listen to what I have to say to you. I have answers for the things you're going through that I want to give you. It's time to come to the Lord. And if that's you, and if you don't know Jesus, or if you'd like to come back to him, you feel like you've drifted far away, I just want you to slip your hand up. And I'll see it, and we'll pray with you. See a hand over on that side. Usually if there's one, I see another one over here. I see another one back there. I see another one. You see, usually what that happens when one person is brave enough to lift their hand, that just emboldens everyone else. So I'm going to give just a couple more minutes. I see at least 4 or 5 people that have raised their hands. If you don't know Jesus, or if you knew him at one time and want to return to him, just lift your hand up. I want to invite those of you that lifted your hands to come and join me here at the front of the church. This is the most important thing that you could possibly ever do. It's the most important decision that you could ever make in your life. This is the day that the Bible says when you make this choice and this decision, the Bible tells us that all heaven rejoices, that they throw a party in heaven. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's encourage them as they come. Praise God. Praise God. And come down here and stand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else before we close this time? I just want to pray with you. Such a sweet presence of God here. How many of you are coming to the Lord for the first time? Any of you? Or how many of you, maybe I should say it this way, you've done this before, but you feel like you want to come back to the Lord. Is that you? Is all of you? All right. Well, you know what? The Lord takes that very seriously. He rejoices because only the Holy Spirit could convict you. Only the Holy Spirit could nudge you. And you know, what you have felt in this place today is the presence of God. And he's not condemning you. He's inviting you. He's not saying, oh, you terrible person. He's saying, thank God you're home. That's what he's saying. He's saying, thank God you've come back. As a mother, I know that there's nothing that makes me happier than to see my grown children around my table. And I believe the Lord feels the same way. He welcomes you back. with all of your, with his heart. And we welcome you too. Praise God. I'm going to help you pray, and then we've got some things for you that Sheila is going to help you with. But I want, if you would, just shut your eyes, and I want you to pray with me, and the whole church is actually going to pray with you too. Say, Father God, I'm coming home, coming back to you. Forgive me where I've sinned. Wash and cleanse me. I believe that you died and shed your blood so that I might know you. And I thank you. Father, I love you and I choose you. I choose your house and I choose this relationship and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, I just want to bless each one. Lord, I thank you, Father, for this decision, Lord, that they have made, Father, to come back, that you, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, are doing a convicting, even a drawing work this morning. And, Father, you have brought them into this place. And, Father, I thank you that things change from this point on, that this is a new day, that this is a new season, no going back, no returning back. Father, I thank you, Lord, that your mercies are new every morning and that you are doing, Lord, in hearts even now, something supernatural that will change them forever. We give you praise and we give you glory and we give you honor in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Amen.